You let one ant stand up to us, then they all might stand up. Those puny little ants outnumber us 100 to 1. And if they ever figure that out, there goes our way of life. It's not about food. It's about keeping those ants in line. That's why we're going back.
Does anybody else want to stay?
Let's ride!
Motherfucking show. The grooviest. Here's a hey, what do you talk about on Quite Frankly? But it ain't nothing short of groovy, though, I'll tell you that much. And I really enjoy doing it, and I enjoy starting off the new weeks because that means that Saturday and Sunday of not being able to talk to you guys, or talk with you guys, I should say. That's over. And as much as I love having a break on the weekends, although breaks are few and far between, even on Saturdays and Sundays, there's something about Mondays I just love now. I love coming back. And that's when you kind of know that you're on the right track of something. So what are you on the right track from? Your show sucks, Frank. You may think so, and it just may be so. Who knows what history will say or not have the time to comment on when it comes to this show. Years down the road. All I know is that as an individual, the life that I'm living right now, I feel pretty good when I look at the body of work that has to be done for the show every week. And if I were to die tomorrow, I hope it doesn't happen. Then at least I wasn't spinning my wheels in the mud. You know, it's not really so much about how much you accumulate. So the things you put your time to. And I really enjoy this stuff. You know what? Well, first thing, we're starting off real quick. Because I promised somebody, I forgot her name, Aaliyah or something like that, or Arlie or something like that. She got in touch with me. She's not my friend on Facebook, but she sent me a message. I don't know if she had seen what I had put out on YouTube. But when we talked about free hugs guy, there's a guy that punched a woman in the face for not paying her for the free hugs. We talked about that real quick on Friday before Liam Chef joined us. And she just wanted me to know that it's not the real free hugs guy. It's a guy that's not associated with free hugs, which I guess is a brand now. Her name was Arlie. I promised her I would do this. Said, this isn't the correct free hugs guy in your report shared. It's a panhandler in New York City, and sharing is spreads misinformation by the media and hurts the real free hugs guy who lives in California and is a businessman. Please delete and see Free Hugs Project, Frank. So, I told her I'm not really interested in going after the free hugs guy. I just talked about it on the air because of the irony of the subject. It's not so much that the free hugs guy, whoever the hell that guy is, that nobody knows about, because I see people doing the free hug stick all over the place. I've only been in California for a couple of days in my entire life so far. I didn't see no free hugs guy. I've seen tons of them in New York City, and that's where this girl got punched. In Times Square. Okay, so we commented on the irony of being punched in the face for not paying for a free hug. Okay, there's a whole bunch of things that conflict with each other there. You know? Nothing more benevolent than giving out a free hug. Nothing more malevolent than punching somebody for not paying for the free hug. And that was just funny to me. So whoever the free hugs guy is, I hope you secure your brand and put out some sort of a press release, because you have people out there that are very concerned for your well-being. I, for one, am not. I thought it was a funny story. You wouldn't thought it was funny if you got punched in the face. I don't take free hugs from people that I don't know. Call me weird, but I just like, you know, I don't like hugging people I don't know. I'll shake their hands. I'll have conversations. I'll build a friendship. We'll exchange names. We'll eventually get to the point where we'll give each other a dap and a hug. And then a year down the line, when I know them well enough and they say something I really, really like, or if I haven't seen them for a long time, I'll give them a nice warm hug. And I give great hugs. Trust me on this. Trust me on this. You're going to have to trust me. I give great hugs. Sounded like Donald Trump there. Great, great hugs. So that out of the way, let's get to the next order of business. This is from themirror.co.uk. Businessman raising £1 million to recreate 9/11 to prove conspiracy theories true or false once and for all. So an American-born businessman wants to raise £1 million to stage a bizarre recreation of the 9/11 attacks on the World Trade Center in New York. Paul Salo, who now lives in Thailand, says he wants to purchase a Boeing 747 and smash into the side of an empty building in the countryside at 500 miles per hour. What a waste of money. He describes it as an important project to prove conspiracy theories about the terror atrocities once and for all. Mr. Salo is hoping to crowdfund the event and is selling front row seats to the outlandish spectacle in Thailand for $5,000 each, or £3,500. In the video promoting the reconstruction, he said, "If you doubt anything about 9/11, we want to blast this to smithereens, or we want to prove you completely right." First of all, they're going to build a skyscraper the size of Tower 1 and or 2. That's number one. You just have towers like that laying around somewhere in the middle of nowhere, mind you. If you're going to recreate this, you need to recreate this. And I don't think you're going to be able to find place to blow this up. And Michael Moore is in this because they referenced the Michael Moore. Michael Moore's documentary Fahrenheit 9/11, which I actually saw in theaters, added suspicion after detailing links between former President George Bush's family, the U.S. government, and the Bin Laden family. Cult film Loose Change and other 9/11 documentaries claim that the attacks were planned by the U.S. government insiders. But here's the thing I really wanted to bring up. Let me get the... I think I have the link over here. Look at this picture of Michael Moore. And you're going to be very, very... It's going to make sense why he's making all of these heartfelt stands against North Carolina and all the other states that are having issues with their bathrooms right now. Because whatever Michael Moore is not clear anymore. There's something going on. I'm displaying a picture of him right now. He's got the hair of a 17-year-old emo boy, but not quite. It could also be that of a homely, unkempt housewife in her mid-30s, and he's wearing this terrible Detroit Tigers camouflage hat. And of course, the thick-rimmed petroleum glasses, the hipster glasses. But this face that is, I don't know what I'm looking at right now. What happens to people? I'm telling you, now I know that some people just age poorly and it's going to happen to us all. God knows what I'm going to look like in 20 years or so. But Jesus Christ. You know, I liken it to this, and I talk to my buddies about this in private, but when you look at somebody, and when you're on the outside looking in at a number of things, and a number of people who are in public eye, and you can see after all of this time that they spend in politics, or all the time they spend in something that is usually very dirty business,
You can tell who the evil ones really are because they start looking like Dianne Feinstein. They start looking like Hillary Clinton. They start looking like John McCain's, the Lindsey Graham's. Dude, they look like Emperor Palpatine. It's almost like their work, their meddling with the dark side, just promotes this otherworldly rot. You know, it's a rotting effect that has this otherworldly, like there's something wrong. There's something wrong with this site right here. God. Like pallid, and there's no tone. They're just very pale and sickly looking, but they try to keep certain aspects of them very youthful, and which is just usually like external things. Like they dye their hair and they grow it out, even though you don't grow it. Get rid of it. And they wear baseball caps and they have very stylish reading glasses. You're like, oh no. No. Let it go, man. Yeah, so that's what we're dealing with here. Somebody wants to recreate 9/11. It's either A, not going to happen, B, going to be completely stupid. I mean, what the hell are we talking about here? Let's get over this. An artist in Cleveland, Ohio, an artist known for his large-scale nude photo shoots is planning to make a splashy return to Cleveland at this summer's Republican National Convention. Spencer Tunick of New York is looking for 100 women to pose nude while holding mirrors in Cleveland at sunrise on July 17th, the week of the GOP convention. Those who are interested can sign up by submitting a photo at his website. Can you imagine that? Yeah, you want to sign up for this? I'm only going to pick 100 girls, and I'm going to spend the entire day around them naked, but please, if you want to be a part of this, I need to inspect you first. An unsurprising heads up, the website includes graphic but artistic images of nude people. Tunick told Cleveland Scene, which broke the news about the project, that he plans to hold the photo shoot on private property in a park so he doesn't have to deal with police and the hassle of permits. A handful of groups already applied for permits to demonstrate during the GOP convention, and more are expected. Well, who the hell cares? First of all, not a Republican that can give two shits, but What the two-party system also sets up for you is this wonderful petri dish that you can then observe. And of course, who already has their permits to do protesting at a Republican convention? Crazy leftists, of course. They're the only ones that go out there and show their tits and rub their balls and scream stupid shit. And they make their stands. And of course, the violence continues. Protester violence continues. Lauren Southern actually just got assaulted. A libertarian from Canada just got assaulted by far left groups. They're the only groups that are so passionate about their beliefs that they're willing to punch you over them. Tunick's last Cleveland project was in 2004 when he photographed 2,754 people on East 9th Street in the lakefront on a chilly 57-degree Saturday. What is he doing, though? Why 100 nude women? Why mirrors? But he explains, the photograph will involve 100 nude women holding large mirrored discs reflecting the knowledge. This is what I love about this stuff. Now, this is so art. This is so artsy right here. So brave. The photograph will involve 100 nude women holding large mirror discs, reflecting the knowledge and wisdom of progressive women and the concept of Mother Nature into and onto the convention center, cityscape, and horizon of Cleveland. You heard that, guys? They're going to be reflecting the knowledge and wisdom of progressive women and the concept of Mother Nature. They're going to be projecting that and reflecting that onto the city and the horizon and into the universe. And the philosophy of the artwork relates to the idea of the sacred feminine. By holding it, they'll probably have the pentagram all over the place too. By holding mirrors, we hope to suggest that women are a reflection and embodiment of nature, the sun, the sky, and the land. Yes, they are. They are. Their bodies are fertile grounds for reproduction and procreation. They are incubators of life. Incubators of life. And that is a, if you want to look at that from the sacred feminine, from the philosophy of the ancient people and Mother Nature, that is one thing that is held so in such in high esteem that the sacred feminine people and women are the incubators for life on Earth. Not the ones who choose what life goes on and what doesn't. You know, and I'm not saying, and I'm saying this to play devil's advocate. You know, obviously it's an abortion reference. And whereas I'm pro-choice, my choice and the choice of me and my woman, Lauren, in our beautiful union, would be life at all costs. But at the same time, I'm pro-choice for everybody else. Just don't let anybody else pay for it. But to play devil's advocate on this, and to espouse myself, to espouse pro-life type of leanings, would actually be in line with the ancient people who hold the sacred feminine in all of its glory, in all of its natural glory, into context. Into context. You see, there was a time when we were connected with nature. Taking your clothes off in the middle of a city street doesn't connect you with nature, when the rest of the time you're doing things and you're standing by things that are antithetical to nature, which is the destruction, the willful destruction of life, and the willful destruction of human ambition through collectivization and overbearing government systems and roles of government that are overly expanding, and the regulation of people and the regulation. If you really think about it, people just selectively touch on the things that once made us human. And then their biases come in. No principles, their biases then come in. I don't know, man. I don't really get, I'm not really impressed by this stuff. Not really impressed by it. We want to express the belief that we rely upon the strength, intuition, and wisdom of progressive and enlightened women to find our place in nature and to regain the balance within it. Nature. Nature. It doesn't make sense to me. The mirrors communicate that we are often a reflection of ourselves, each other, and of the world that surrounds us. The woman becomes the future, and the future becomes the woman. Ugh. Ugh. Doesn't that just sound typical? Can't. All right, let's get down to some brass tacks. Well, first of all, let's see what's going on in the chat room. The lines are on. Please call in at any time. Johnny Vroom is in the chat room. Rumble and Roar is there. Nikki is there. Frankie. Moonlit Matt. Guys, call in. Let me know what you think about this. What do you think about this guy's upcoming display? Is there anything about that that made you quirk your brow? You know, not just going by what I said. Or do you completely disagree with me? Call in. Let me know what you think. Got a lot of stuff here that I want to get through to. The FDA's new vaping regulations, I want to talk about that as well, because I was also linked to a pretty reasonable video of a session of a congressional oversight committee in which Nita Lowey, our local representative to Congress over here in our part of Westchester, New York, opposed this amendment. I believe it's called, it's the Cole Amendment. Now, so we'll leave the lines open and the topic open for anybody to call in. The topic on what we previously talked about was the sacred feminine and whether or not you think that any of these artsy-fartsy progressive projects really fall in line or can ever really truly be in touch with any of the ancient sacred feminine wisdoms when it is aligned with modern-day progressive left notions of social engineering and overbearing control, and actually nothing to do with the incubation of life, liberty, the pursuit of happiness. The pursuit, not the guarantee of happiness, the pursuit. And from there comes their social structures and the functions that they put in to control social environments, the environments that we live in and operate. So think on that. Call in. We'll take calls on that all night if you'd like. But I was watching Nita Lowey go up against this. Now, the new vaping regulations make no sense. This is from May 6th, okay? I saved this for a couple of days. On Thursday, the FDA announced that it will regulate products like e-cigarettes, hookahs, and fancy cigars, the same way it regulates regular tobacco products like traditional cigarettes and chewing tobacco. This might sound relatively reasonable at first glance. If it's all tobacco, why not treat it the same way, right? It's not quite that simple, especially where e-cigarettes are concerned. You see, they don't contain tobacco and don't generate any smoke, just flavored, nicotine-laden water vapor, and that's where the term vaping comes from. And not only that, flavor, and I believe it's like a glycerin, which is what is vaporized. So you get your water vapor, flavor, and for those who have already kicked the nicotine addiction and just like the flavor, you can get it with no nicotine. So at its worst, you're smoking or vaping three ingredients. I believe at the least, it is two ingredients. Going by everything that we learn every time Mike Bowers from White Plains Vapors, our very, very close friends and sponsors of this network. And Mike is our Mike, Petey Face. He hasn't touched a cigarette in weeks now. In weeks, because of vaping. And by all estimates and all studies, vaping is 95%, at least 95% safer than normal cigarettes. But it is a real stick in the spokes for the tobacco lobby and for the people who have stake in all the Nicorettes, the gums, the patches, the pills, all that, lots of it, because it is a free market solution. It's a free market solution. There are little tiny businesses that are busting out the kneecaps of a major multi-billion dollar industry, both smoking and trying to stop smoking. And guess what? Comparing vaping to Chantix is even, and Chantix is something that's FDA approved. This is a drug that tries to get you to stop smoking. That carries all of these possible suicidal thoughts and tendency risks and all that shit. That's FDA approved. But we're going after tobacco products that don't contain tobacco. The government. You guys, and for everybody out there, especially the young people that are starting to watch this show and listen to this show in dribs and drabs, you want to talk about capitalism? You want to talk about capitalism and how it destroys things? This is what's destroying things, not capitalism. Capitalism ensures that people, that David, is able to compete with Goliath and that they are protected in their pursuit to compete with Goliath, and that they are able, even as a David compared to Goliath, are able to hold and patent intellectual property and negotiate their ideas up against anybody else, because competition is not squelched out by government, by big government. That's not capitalism. That's cronyism. And that's the reason why many, many congressmen and women have become very rich in the time that they have tenured themselves in Congress. Because they direct all of the contracts. They direct everything toward their families and their friends. And they get kickbacks from it. Okay? There's a reason why people go into Congress with nothing but a pot to piss in, and they leave very, very wealthy. There's a reason for it. And Nita Lowey, who might have great intentions, but is just acting stupidly. And I messaged her as well on Facebook, too. I messaged her Facebook page. Of course, the comment needed to be approved, and it was never approved. Let's just keep going with this first. It's not quite simple, especially where e-cigarettes are concerned. You see, they don't contain tobacco and don't generate smoke. This key difference means that they can be healthier alternative to regular cigarettes, providing the nicotine, but not the lung damaging smoke and the chemicals from combustion. Okay, and for everybody out there, what does the combustion aspect mean? Combustion is when you bring the lighter to the tip of the cigarette and suck in for that first time and light the tobacco up. Once it reaches that burning point where, boom, there's the cherry at the end of your cigarette, there's your combustion, okay? It bursts into flames. And the same thing goes with marijuana. Okay, we talk about medical marijuana a lot, and I actually had a conversation with a narcotics detective of mine today as I was getting my breakfast at the local deli I go to most mornings for some coffee and a buttered roll or a chili special or something like that. And I was talking to my friend, who was actually one of the police officers that was working on that murder case I told you that I was a witness in, which I'm off the hook. I do not have to go in because the person pled guilty. So, but he said that my name was brought up a couple of times, and they kept pronouncing my name wrong in court and all that shit. So I'm happy about that. I didn't want to go do it. I would have, but I didn't want to. But I was talking to him about that today because I know he's been on the police force in our town for a long time now. He's maybe a year or two older than me. And I said, listen, man, I got to talk to you about this. You know, what are the sentiments? You know, what are the sentiments about the war on drugs? I know that you guys are the enforcers of these policies, and I always talk about it on my show. It's like, you know, I can't be, I'll be the first in line to call a police officer out for any kind of brutality or any kind of overstepping of their bounds or abuse of power. I'm right there without anybody. And I know it happens way too much. And I know that we have built and insulated and created this system in which behavior like that happens more and more often, or a lot more often than we'd like. But I still will never be the part that will be comfortable of painting anybody or any group of people, any profession, with a broad stroke. Now, I told him about this, and I said, you know, I always talk about not going after the policy enforcer when the real problem is the policy itself. What do you guys think about ideas that float around about decriminalization and ending the war on drugs? And he said, to be honest, a lot of us want to see at least marijuana get legalized. It takes up a lot of time. You know, it's you think about it. How many times have we said on this show, how are you going to graduate somebody out of the police academy, give them their badge, and then tell them not to enforce the laws? All right, here you go. There's your badge. Congratulations. You're part of the police force. Now, don't do your job. Don't enforce the laws against the selling of Lucy cigarettes. And then, of course, when you do have to go enforce the laws and you get resistance, then what do? All right, well, they're resisting me. I'm just going to walk away from this one. No, you can't. You know, like, this is very, very explain. It all explains itself very, very easily. And he said his sentiments are echoed by a lot of people on the force, not only just in narcotics. It's a waste of time. Talk about real crime. Talk about people. He said alcohol is much more dangerous. And I wish I could have them on the show, but they have gag orders, and they're not allowed to do any talking like that. But, you know, it all comes down to this stuff. all comes down to all this. But as far as marijuana goes, especially on the medical level, because, you know, I was talking to him online. We had put our order in. Then we were waiting to get rung up. And he says, you know, I have a couple people who actually have the prescriptions now in New York for the vaping of the marijuana. I said, you know, I'm glad you bring that up, because recreational use is one thing. But when you talk about medical marijuana, I want everybody to be very, very clear on this. The medicinal aspects in marijuana are only going to be found in vaping and ingestion. Okay? Once you get to this combustion, once it reaches a heat that is high enough to combust the actual flower, you actually damage a lot of the THC. You damage a lot of the most medicinal parts of it. Now, does that make it as dangerous as smoking cigarettes? Absolutely not. Does it still mean that there's not medicinal application for smoking a joint? Yes, there's definitely still medicinal application for symptoms. At that point, you're alleviating symptoms of nausea. If you're in chemotherapy or anything like that, and you need to try to work up an appetite to eat to keep your strength up, there's definitely medicinal application there. But as far as the best way you can take it, vaporizing and ingesting. And I would suggest anybody out there who knows somebody that's chronically ill, has any kind of problems that would require any kind of neurogenesis, nerve damage, chronic pain, cancer, diabetes, anything. I'm not claiming to have the answer to anything, but I would say it might be in your best interest to go check out a documentary by Rick Simpson called Run From the Cure. Run From the Cure. Check that out. It's on YouTube. Okay. And you'll learn about Rick Simpson's Phoenix Tears Oil, which I should actually get my buddy Ian Jacklin on the air, because he is he's a friend of mine who deals with a lot of this stuff and has a lot of experience with it and is a documentary maker of himself. Maybe that's all I'll do for an upcoming Friday night episode. Have Ian Jacklin on the air. Ian Jacklin was a world champion kickboxer in the 80s. And then he went on a run where he started doing a lot of, you know, like B action films. He was called the Jackal on screen. Check him out. Ian Jacklin. IanJacklin. And then he went full-time into documentary making and natural cures. And he lives out in California. He's a Canadian. And I think he still might be in California, but he bounces around. And he has a website called iCureCancer.com. As in iPod, okay? I cure cancer. Check it out there. But we also hosted his webcast here for maybe about a year or so. And some fantastic interviews. The one that stands out the most was an interview he did with a man named Nick Gonzalez. Nick Gonzalez, okay, Dr. Nick Gonzalez. His offices are in New York City. One of the smartest men I've ever heard speak on the subjects. He was trained in Western medicine, and in training in Western medicine and oncology and all this stuff, learning about chemo and surgery and radiation, he had an awakening, an epiphany that none of this was working. That people actually survive longer off of the chemo and all that than they do on it. And he started going into holistics and using what he learned and a lot of different types and working with diet and really reversing alkaline diets. There was another man that Ian was, hold on. This guy was awesome as well. I have to remember what his name. Ian Jacklin. It'll pop up. Give me a moment here, because I would really love for you guys to be able to watch this stuff on your own. Ian Jacklin interviews. His name is at the tip of my tongue. Dr. Bernardo. Dr. Bernardo. Hold on. Okay. Yeah, check out Dr. Bernardo. It was featured inside of Ian Jacklin's documentary. And he talks all about treating cancer holistically and just through alkaline diets and managing the pH of people. Their body's pH balance. I would highly recommend that. Run from the Cure by Rick Simpson, and then look into Ian Jacklin and his interviews with Dr. Bernardo. And I don't know if he has Nick Gonzalez's interview on YouTube. Let me see. Yes. Here it is. I'm putting this in the chat room. This is from 2-3 years ago. I Cure Cancer. ZenLive.tv with Nick Gonzalez. This was June 22nd, 2013. I'm putting it in the chat room right now. This man is great. Awesome. Let me see it. Yeah. So I put that in the chat room. You guys keep that up. So call on in. Call on in if you have anything to add. Johnny Vroom, Frankie. Oh, wait, no, he's talking to Frankie Castle. Let me see what's going on in the chat room. Frankie Castle, George Carlin said it best, make everything legal and let Darwin's law work its magic or something like that. Yeah. Yeah, what was it? Carlin said, I'm coming from the school of thought where you either make it all legal or you make nothing legal. It's everything or nothing. Johnny Vroom was talking about my biceps. What'd you guys say about my biceps? Rumble and Roar sent... put in a link in the chat room right now from Heat Street. Breaking news, Burlington College closes due to crushing weight of debt. Uh-oh. Burlington College announced today that it will be closing on May 27th after it found itself unable to recover from the crushing weight of debt incurred under Jane Mira Sanders, the college's former president and wife of Bernie Sanders. For real? Is this not a joke? Bernie Sanders' wife just destroyed a college with crushing debt? At the end of 2010, Ms. Sanders took out $10 million in loans on behalf of Burlington College to purchase a 32-acre swath of land from the Roman Catholic Diocese, which put the land up for sale to help cover the cost of a $17 million sexual abuse settlement. As Heat Street reported last month, the college almost immediately fell short on its financial obligations as fundraising pledges and commitments Ms. Sanders cited in the loan agreements never materialized. Less than a year after leading Burlington College into massive debt, Ms. Sanders resigned, taking with her a $200,000 severance package. $200,000 severance package. Good job. By 2014, because of its shaky finances and running deficits, Burlington College found itself placed on probation for 2 years by the regional accreditation agency. Oh my word. Two peas in a pod, those Sanders, wouldn't you say? What was another thing I said? Oh, Rumble and Johnny says, they're nice, bro. My biceps are nice. Rumble and Roar says, yeah, they're super nice. Moonlit Alter says, your biceps are on point, Frank. Nikki says, Frank, you've got some arm porn going on, like Norman Reedus. Man, oh, man. Well, thank you for the compliments. A lot of it was just weight training and TRX. I stopped with the heavy weight training years ago. The last 2 years, obviously, have been all kung fu. And, man, that shapes you up, man. It just adds just density. But aside from that, TRX, pull-ups, push-ups. TRX, pull-up, push-ups, plyometrics. Don't hurt yourself, kids. Just go out there and make yourself throw up in an open field. You don't need anything to make yourself destroy. But this is absolutely mind-boggling news. Thank you so much for that link, Rumble and Roar. That is mind-boggling. I'm gonna put. I'm saving that. I'm gonna get to that. And you know what? It actually goes in hand in hand with something else. Where is it? Here we go. From Foundation for Economic Freedom. Okay. Analysis: Bernie Sanders' healthcare plan would cost $32 trillion. A new study from the left-leaning Urban Institute. Left-leaning. Remember, guys. This is like everybody comes together when it comes to this stuff. Status quo is very important to these people. They'll go after they want to protect their own, so they'll agree on something once and for all. The agreement is that this is nuts, okay? A new study from the left-leaning Urban Institute corroborates many of these concerns, finding that Bernie care would cost more than twice as much as $13.8 trillion price tag touted by the Sanders campaign. The authors from the Urban Institute estimate that Bernie care would increase federal health care expenditures by $32 trillion, 233% over the next decade. The $15 trillion in additional taxes proposed by Sanders would fail to even cover half of the health care proposal's price tag, leaving a funding gap of $16.6 trillion. In the first year, federal spending would increase by $2.34 trillion. To give some context, total national health expenditures in the United States were $3 trillion in 2014. That's some fucking context. Sanders was initially able to restrict most of the tax increases needed to higher-income households through income-based premiums, significantly increasing taxes on capital gains and dividends and hiking marginal tax rates on high earners. Sanders cannot squeeze blood from the same stone twice, and there's likely not much more he can do to propose higher taxes on these households, which means if it were actually able to have find ways to finance Bernie care, he'd have to turn large tax increases onto the middle class. Well, of course. Of course he would. Because the voting base that would be going for a crooked Frankenstein like Bernie Sanders is the growing lower class. The growing lower class because of the fact that not capitalism, but because we have a mixed economy now that's about 40 to 50% socialist. You know, that's no news there that we are a mixed economy. It's the reason why we're massively in debt. But as the lower end, as the disenfranchised, as the poor begin to grow, but as long as they're over the age of 18 and citizens, they're going to vote for the person who's going to save them from the evil capitalists, instead of telling people that it's the capitalists that make jobs. And it's the capitalists who are not just relegated, that term capitalist is not relegated to millionaires and billionaires. It's actually the small town person who opens up a brick and mortar pizza shop. Or, you know, even though people don't go to cobblers anymore, you know, the shoe repair shops. Anything else. Think of local businesses. All those people that hire the people at your local level. Those are the capitalists. Those are the people we need to get out of the way of. And those are the people that are hurt. Those are the people that are not able to follow through with their dreams because, boom. boom. Because it can never just be about going and attacking and eating the rich. This utopia that's trying to be built for on behalf of everybody cannot be paid for with the little amount of money that you're going to squeeze out of the top. And is it really a little amount of money? No. The taxation is exorbitant. But compared to the size and scope of the aspirations that these crazy, these lunatics have, it is a little bit amount of money. $32 trillion. I cannot believe we are dealing with figures this large. I can't believe we're dealing with it. Yeah. And we started on vaping, and we went to medicinal marijuana, and then we went to this. But yeah, the vaping thing is, there was another thing. The FDA rule, here's a slow motion ban, what they're calling, because here it is. The FDA rule, a preliminary version of what was published 2 years ago, effectively requires e-cigarette manufacturers to get their products approved, quote, as new tobacco products, even though there is no tobacco in there. An expensive, arduous, and time-consuming process that will be prohibitive for most of them being the providers, the White Plains vapors of the world, people who are opening up shops, who are entrenched in the vaping community, who are really, really there to not only be part of a growing industry, but helping people. I'm telling you, the first thing that drew me to White Plains Vapors when I walked through the doors for the first time was the big wall, big corkboard wall where people were pinning their last packs of cigarettes to. That's inspiring, man. I know people are disgusted by vaping and they think that it's a terrible trend, and some people, like I said, you don't have to have it with nicotine in it. And there is something cool about blowing plumes of the most tasty vapor out of your mouth. There's something very cool about that and fun. I have fun with it. I actually have to get myself a new mod box because we've been smoking a lot less hookah here lately. But each application is expected to cost $1 million or more. And a separate application will be required each version of a product, an impossible burden for small businesses that sell vaporizers along with dozens of custom-made fluids. Oh, and every application will take an appalling 1,700 hours to complete by the FDA's own admission. The rules will send prices up and selection down to the businesses which do manage to stay open, which realistically will also have to compete with black market competitors who can supply the products vapors really want. So now you're creating a black market again. You're destroying business that could be taxed, business that really does not create a lot of problems for people, that is 95%, at least 95% safer than smoking cigarettes. And people like Nita Lowey, our congresswoman over here, went out and said that she opposes this Cole Amendment because, and the Cole Amendment actually puts reasonable things in there for e-liquids, saying that it's not tobacco. Yeah, we'll put labels on there, 18 and over, something like that, labeling and all that shit, but to take the restrictions off and stop treating this like it's actually a tobacco product. And she goes up there and says it's a terrible idea, and she's citing that these things are called Fruit Loops, the flavors are called Fruit Loops and this and Jolly Ranchers and this, and it just doesn't sound like, you know, what adults are having this. Obviously, saying that obviously when you name an e-liquid Fruit Loops, it's pandering to children. I don't know about you, Miss Lowey, okay? But we grew up eating Fruit Loops, and now that we're adults, we like the taste of Fruit Loops. Mike has liquids that taste like blueberry donuts dunked in milk. Anybody that's gone to Dunkin' Donuts knows that's amazing. So, of course, it's always about the fucking children. And just like Frankie Castle said, that's another one with George Carlin. The children. Fuck the children. Sorry. Fuck the children. Here's another thing that got me pissed off over the weekend. Okay? And I don't say fuck the children as to let them do what they want, but this, as far as let them go and smoke things, but stop using children to promote some kind of government takeover of an industry. You're not that benevolent. You're not thinking about children. Children have been smoking cigarettes since the dawn of time. Okay? It is a live and learn world out there. You're not going to incubate people from things. If a child wants to try a cigarette, they're either going to love it or hate it. That's it. That's it. And the vaping, to say it's pandering to children, oh my God, can you imagine? Can you imagine the horror if a child went out and bought an e-cigarette that is 95% safer than a cigarette? As opposed to getting hooked onto a cigarette. Can you imagine that? What a terrible world. Because I'll tell you something. Vaping gets old. If you're getting yourself off of cigarettes, you need the vaping to give yourself the nicotine and wean yourself down. And then once you don't have that bug to be smoking, I'm telling you right now, every once in a while you'll take your mod box out and you'll blow some clouds, you'll whatever, you'll try a new flavor, and that's it. That's it. It gets a little boring. You're sitting there, you're sucking in, you're blowing out. Seriously. So one's addicting and one is like, yeah, I'll taste it. And then it's okay. Whatever. So it's completely hyped up. The other thing is that she keeps saying that there's a study about formaldehyde, that it converts to formaldehyde and it's dangerous. Well, I went and I looked that up, and not only did we have 7:52, I got 2 minutes left. Not only did we have Mike Bowers from White Plains Vapors on talking about this, about the whole formaldehyde fallacy. Where is it? Here. The deception of measuring formaldehyde in e-cigarette aerosols, the difference between laboratory measurements and true exposure. Okay, so pretty much what it comes down to, because I don't have that much time, and you can look this up. So this is from, just type in the deception of measuring formaldehyde in e-cigarette aerosol. It should pop up. It's off of ecigaretteresearch.com. Biased much? Of course, they're going to say whatever the hell they're going to promote the actual safety of their product. I believe it is a safe product. But it does speak to the formaldehyde thing. Pretty much what it comes down to is that when you get one of those dry inhales, and I think Mike had said something like that when he was here on the show for ZNY, that if your mod is wet, if you've got liquid in there and it is not a dry burn, you're not creating formaldehyde. And at the temperature and at the state that you would burn to create the formaldehyde, it would be a completely unpleasant experience. You would not be able to inhale. It would burn, it would taste terrible. Trust me, nobody's sitting there sucking on formaldehyde. It's another combustion rate, okay? You want to talk about, well, you know, how things are damaged when it comes to combustion? Well, when you burn anything long enough, it starts becoming toxic. Okay? And that's what it comes down to. We can get into the details of that at a later show, but you can go and check that on yourself, substantiate it, get your own thoughts together. And when I sent a message to Nita Lowy through her Facebook page, I actually put it onto the page. They didn't approve it at all because it's been days now. I said, why are you being disingenuous about this? I didn't go and know ad hominems, but you know that the formaldehyde talk is bogus. And you're screwing with vocabulary to push some ridiculous agenda, because you're talking about children And you're also talking tobacco, tobacco. She keeps using tobacco products, tobacco products. There is no tobacco in this. In fact, people aren't hooked on cigarettes because it's tobacco. They're hooked on cigarettes because of the nicotine content. So you want to call it nicotine products, but if you call it nicotine products, then you're admitting that there's no tobacco in there. And that we can't, then it probably doesn't make sense for people if we regulate it like cigarettes. And that's how government works, people. They thrive off of uneducated, useless idiots who take what they say at face value. All right, guys, so when we come back on the air tomorrow night, we'll talk about weight training, and we'll talk about how to get you guys the biceps you want, and we'll talk about all of that shit. Since I got some very nice compliments from everybody in the chat room about my biceps tonight. Thank you, everybody. Well, you know, I am a personal trainer, so I've always lived by the credo that my personal appearance has got to be my business card. I would not want to be trained by someone who is who's got a muffin top or is hanging over their belt. I think that's just the best kind of card you can make. All right, guys, I hope you guys have a great, fantastic evening. Coming up next is 3-drink minimum, followed by Hangover Takeover. It's another beautiful Monday night here at the studio, ZenLive.tv, and I hope you guys have a fantastic night. Thank you guys for coming out. Max and Caparato, it's been a long time since I've seen you in that chat, and let me just tell you something. Intergalactic Peace Jelly, your band, I went on your SoundCloud today, and all of your tracks were gone. So I don't know if you're trying to just clear out things, but I was giving your band some plugs last week. I hope to have you call in sometime soon. Nikki, thank you so much. Rumble and Roar, thank you for that link. Frankie Castle, Stacy Baby, and Moonlit Matt was here before, and a few others. Everybody have a great evening. Don't go anywhere. The night is just beginning here on ZenLive.tv.